Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Talk a little hockey with Strick, a little football with H, and a little medicine with Dr. Rick. But right now we'll chat with Rob Raines. Rob, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Frank. Thank you.
So right off the bat, you were side by side with the commish for over four decades.
A lot of time we spent together, yes, sir, over the years. And it was, I couldn't believe the news yesterday, and like everybody else, kind of trying to process it. But a lot of happy thoughts, a lot of memories. That's what I'm going to choose to remember. All the cab rides we shared, the airplane rides we shared, the meals we shared, the press boxes, the discussions with players, coaches, managers, front office people. Yeah, just a lot of things going through my mind.
He had a way of asking questions that weren't softball by nature. He asked legitimate tough questions, but he did it in such a way with his voice and his likable personality that nobody ever took offense.
No, and I think, you know, think back to the era that when he was at the Post and I was at the Globe, it was a two newspaper town, and really, you know, you didn't have a lot of the extra media that you have, and I'm not saying taking anything against it, but it was just a different era in the media world back then. And so, you know, the players got to know us better than a lot of people. I mean, they knew who we were, they knew, you know, what paper we wrote for, and they knew we were there every day. And so I think that we could get away with asking some stuff maybe that you know, people today would kind of take an offense to, because they wouldn't know more about the background of the person asking the question. So I think, and you know, I think Rick, the one thing he did, and I know everybody who's said this the last day or so that we've been talking about him, is that, you know, he was fair. I mean, that's, you know, then that's the thing I think a player or manager would ever ask you for, is that you're fair. You know, you're objective. You've got a job to do. They realize that. Where they don't play well, they realize it's your job to report that they didn't play well. But they just didn't like anybody taking cheap shots at him and being unfair. And I don't think Rick ever did that. And I think that's one of the reasons why he had such a great career and is in the Hall of Fame and had the respect of everybody he knew.
How about just dealing with Whitey? Sometimes it was probably just the two of you in Whitey's
office.
What was that like?
Just three guys talking baseball, but primarily, you know, I think the one beauty of that was that we both had the respect of Whitey. I'd known Whitey in Kansas City before, you know, he moved to St. Louis, and I moved to St. Louis like 6 months before he did. So, you know, we had known each other, and then obviously Rick was, you know, on the scene for forever too. So I think he knew that we could be trusted. I think he knew that when he said something, both of us knew immediately whether he was saying that for publication on the record or if he was just venting and talking, and we never violated that trust. And I think that's one of the reasons why we got along so well. And I think that's, again, that's one of the things that we've lost as a community, as a journalism community, is you just don't have that ability to do that now with a manager or even with a player, really, that you can, you know, build that relationship. And not to say that we didn't report what needed to be reported, or that we, you know, protected sources or protected people, but, you know, it was just a different era in that we knew what our job was, and we weren't out there trying to, you know, create, you know, headlines that would get, you know, instant likes on Twitter and stuff like that, you know. So, I mean, it was fun. I mean, it was a great era to be a newspaper beat writer because you had that freedom to do that.
All right. Let's get to the Cardinals. And, you know, I know we're all feeling good about the winning of four straight series. But, Rob, this starting pitching is just the essence of mediocrity. Actually, it's worse because you're 24th with an ERA of nearly 5 from your starters. I don't know. Who do you like on the starting staff right now besides Michaelis?
It's hard to say because I can't believe that they've gone more than a month without getting a win at a game that Jordan Montgomery started. You know, I think, you know, you look at his body of work, and I mean, for the most part, it's been pretty good. And yet they, you know, it's 8 consecutive starts now that the Cardinals haven't won when he started. And I think that Matz is kind of in that same boat. I mean, Flaherty's one of those guys that we kind of expect, you know, the way he pitched the other that one game, you know, and then he comes back and doesn't pitch as well the next night. So it's just, I think the uncertainty of what you're going to get on any given night is the problem. I think they all have the talent and all have the ability to be effective starters in this rotation or anywhere in the big leagues, but they're just not getting the job done. It's hard to see. I mean, Wainwright, I think the jury's still out on him since he's only had three starts. Now that, you know, I'm kind of surprised they didn't rework that rotation this week to let him miss Cincinnati, because his track record in Cincinnati is horrible. So, and he hates pitching in that ballpark. So I'm kind of surprised that they didn't, you know, figure out some other way to get around that, but they didn't. So we'll see what happens tonight.
What do you think they'll do with Matthew Liberatore? Was that kind of odd that they brought him in, or was that just kind of a work day? He was going to work in the bullpen. They decided with a big lead to have him work on the mound.
No, it was planned. Yeah, it was planned that he was going to probably pitch in that game simply because they had a lot of guys who were not available, and they were just worried that they were going to have enough innings out of the bullpen to cover those innings that they needed. And he was the guy that would have pitched in the bullpen on a side day anyway, so they just got his work in the game instead of on the side. So I understood that. I didn't necessarily love it, but, you know, I understood the reason for it. He's going to start one of the games in Cleveland, I'm sure. I'm just not sure which one it'll be.
All right. What are you seeing with Flaherty nowadays?
The inconsistency is what bothers me. You know, I mean, he'll look good for an inning and then walk two guys and, you know, give up a couple hits. And I think that, you know, he gets some strikeouts. I mean, I still think the whole package is in there, but I think it's just for whatever reason, he hasn't been able to push it across the finish line more than, you know, one start in a row. And that's what I think he's got to get to. I think I don't think the arm or shoulder, whatever was bothering him, should be an issue anymore. So I think he's just got to bear down and just focus and get the consistency that he's lacking, because he's going to have to be the guy at the top of this rotation for them to do anything, because there's no question he's got the best ability of anybody on that staff. He just has to go out and show it and do it.
So I think for 90% of Cardinal fans, they thought, well, I'm not sure what Paul DeJong is going to do, but we are sure that this is going to be it, because it's a club option and you're not going to bring him back. Now, with the way he's going, it may be a great idea to pick up those years.
Muddying up the picture a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah.
They already were going to have a log jam in the middle of the infield next year anyway, with Wynn coming up and being ready to play. So, you know, they're going to have the same problem, and I know we've talked about this before, they're going to have the same problem in the middle infield next year that they've had in the outfield this year, trying to figure out who to play where. And even with the DH, you still got, you know, four guys or maybe five guys trying to get into two spots, perhaps three spots in the lineup. So they're going to have some challenges to make there. But I think the best case for the Cardinals is that Paul DeJong continues to play well, because then you're going to have some options. I mean, whether you pick up the option whether you pick that up, exercise it at the end of the year, or perhaps still look at maybe moving him in some kind of a deal at the trading deadline, if he's hot enough that other teams will pay you something, you know, it's more than you would have gotten, you know, 6 months ago for him. I think you look at that possibility too. So, or, you know, perhaps keep him and trade one of the other guys.
Yeah, that
there's a lot of ways that could go.
That's certainly the way we should be leaning right now, because you don't want to trade the guy who's under contract for the next 2 years, who leads the league in home runs for shortstops. You want to play the guy. I mean, so we'll see what happens.
He started like 3 weeks in a row. There's the reason he started like every game for the last 3 weeks, whatever.
Yeah. How about Nolan Gorman? Are we to the point where, okay, maybe Chris Sale, you can take a day off, but not anymore. You're our best offensive player. You're going to play every day, and forget this. We're going to sit you against lefties. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think it was really necessarily that they were sitting him against Kershaw. I think that kind of worked out that way, but I think it was about time for him to have the day off anyway. I mean, the era when players play 162 games or even 160 games is really over, you know, now. I mean, part of that, of course, is because of the DH situation, that you can rest a guy in the field by buying him time as a DH. But he's still going to get some occasional days off. But I think that, yeah, he's now the regular, whether he's DH or playing second base, he's going to be in there 5 out of 6 days, 6 out of 7 days, something like that. He's earned that right.
What about the division? That's the good news. It's just not a great division. We saw kind of an average-looking Milwaukee offense last week. Cubs are okay. Reds are not. This is really a winnable division, isn't it?
I still think they're the best team in the division. I still think they're going to win the division. Now, I don't know that I would have said that necessarily when they were 10-24. I think that the thing is, when that team was 10-24, they were not a 10-24 team. And I know that may sound weird to say it that way, but they still had so much more talent than that. They just had one horrible month when everything that possibly could go wrong went wrong. And you just didn't see that continuing. And luckily for them, it hasn't continued. They've been able to make some adjustments. Now, they still have to get better, like we talked about. With the starting pitching not good enough. They've got some other issues that they've got to figure out. I still don't like how they manage the bullpen very often. So there's things to work through. And I think you still need to get Jordan Walker back up here playing every day and get Libertor in the rotation every day, every 5 days, and just move forward. But saying all that, I think they'll do that here at some point, and I think they're going to win the division. Now, how far they get into October is going to be determined by two things. Number one, your best players having to play their best at that time of the year, which didn't happen last year, and you have to get good quality starting pitching, which didn't happen last year.
Yeah, and what makes you think that we're going to see good quality starting pitching?
I think they'll make some moves to get better. I do. I mean, not yet. It's too early, but I think they're going to do something, whether it's a rental kind of agreement or pick up somebody that's already signed for next year or two or something. They're going to do something to upgrade the pitching staff. They realize they have to do that.
How would you gauge win status right now? Are we going to see Mason Winn before long at the end of in September? And you think he's going to be ready next year?
Well, they changed the rules about calling up guys in September now. You don't get carte blanche to just bring those guys up and sit them on the bench. So I still think for him to come up here at some point this season, it's going to have to be with an opportunity to play. I don't see a point of bringing him up here just to sit him on the bench when he could be playing every day. At Memphis, he's still like 21 years old, I think. His birthday is spring training, so he's 21. So, I think that he's going to play there this year, but I think, if there's an injury or, really bad performance or some, roster moves of some sort coming down, then you could see him at the end of the year. But he, by and large, I think your primary is still playing on 2024.
You brought up Jordan Walker, still hitting .217 in Memphis. What are you hearing?
He's 10-for-31 the last week with three doubles and a home run and seven RBIs. So he's finally starting to get it going a little bit again. So, yeah, I think that first few weeks down there in Memphis were not good, but he looks like he's now kind of started to turn it around a little bit. So that's the number they're going to be looking at, not what he did those first 3 or 4 weeks down there, but what he's done in the last week and what he does this week and the next couple weeks coming up. He'll be up here. I'm not sure he's going to be in the next couple weeks, but at some point, my prediction is maybe before the All-Star break or right after the All-Star break, he'll be back here playing every day.
Good stuff, Rob. We will talk soon. Thank you so much, sir.
We'll have our tribute to Rick on the site later today.
Okay. Yeah. Wait. Tell me about that now.
Well, I'll just talk about some of my thoughts and observations and some of the times that we shared together and stories and pictures and things like that over the years. So just wanted to do that for Rick, but wanted to give it a little space first before we put it up there.
Awesome. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's Rob Raines. Come back.